We felt pretty early on that this wasn't just a group of random people out there committing the crimes, that they were related. As the investigation continued, we developed more information on them. I'd mentioned property out of the cars being pawned at a local pawn shop. One of the cars that was stolen as part of an LFA with a spare key in it actually had a digital camera pawned at a local pawn shop. We looked to see who it was that had pawned that, found it was a guy named Adrian Berry had pawned it. We went to Adrian Berry's house, and lo and behold, about three doors down, we find the stolen car.
Wow.
On his street. And we set up surveillance on the car, waited for a while, and then two people came out of one of the houses, came out of Mr. Berry's house, and got in the car. At that point, they were placed in custody for being in receipt of stolen property. They said they got the car from Dijon Jasper, who was one of the key players in it. Later in his interviews, Desmond Keyes actually admitted to stealing that car. You know, one of the things that we did after we found that car at that house is started going to the houses of the people that we thought were involved in this. We actually found one of the stolen cars parked directly in front of Desmond Keyes' house in August. We tried to set up surveillance on that car to try to apprehend Desmond Keyes in that car, but it had left before we could get our surveillance set up. We continued to watch for stolen cars at Desmond Keyes' house. A few weeks later, we found another one. So that was the third stolen car we had found parked directly in front of or nearby one of the suspect's houses.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. 253-5959. Touch start. 9:40, 20 minutes away from 10 o'clock. Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Mall Cop Dan Laren is with us this morning, along with Lieutenant Eric Lowe of the Lexington Police Department. If you just tuned in, just to sort of summarize real quickly here, we had crimes that occurred in 2012, lots of car break-ins that turned into also stolen cars, and so many above the average that the police department thought very quickly this was organized. This was just not, you know, by happenstance that this stuff was happening. And so some real good police work led to basically, Eric, three main people, but a whole bunch kind of off those guys, too. So take it, if you will, from there. Or Dan, where do you want to go from here?
We'll sum up the investigation and then talk about the court process.
All right.
Where we were in the investigation at that point, we had recovered about a little over a dozen stolen cars at that point, had made several arrests for receiving stolen property, had done a lot of interviews with the people that were involved. They, like I said, all led back to the main players in it, the biggest one of them being Desmond Keyes. You know, we had found our second stolen car parked directly in front of his house. The first one got away before we could get set up on it. We found it in the morning, and we were set up on it, hoping we would catch him in the stolen car and be able to place him in custody and interview him. Well, we were there for hours. It took forever. And at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I decided I'd make a phone call to him just to try to rile him up, and he was asleep. And so I woke him up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it didn't take but a few more minutes before he left the house and got in the stolen car and drove away. We were able to take him into custody and took him to police headquarters to interview him. You know, during his and some of the other interviews, some statements were made, you know, talking about how they have a lot of cars. And one of the things that was mentioned that we found interesting was they told us that they own Late Night. And that was how we ended up naming the case the Late Night Syndicate. They were out at night breaking into and stealing cars.
And they own the Late Night.
That's the statement they had made, that they own Late
Okay.
Night.
Okay.
Well, you know, usually a guy that likes to steal cars named Keys, you know, those jokes write themselves.
Yeah, they do write themselves.
For us, this became the Late Night Syndicate, and Eric and I spent a lot of time working on this case and talking it over before we presented it to the grand jury. I went to some meetings over there. We talked to the detectives. Basically, we came up with a series of crimes. When you steal out of a vehicle, you commit a theft or a criminal mischief if you damage the vehicle. Receiving stolen property was for the people that were rolling around in these stolen cars. There were several instances where these cars were operated in an unsafe manner. It was initially charged as a robbery. It became a wanton endangerment when they dragged the owner of the car down one of the streets. A couple of these guys crashed into a garage and were responsible for some criminal mischief. There was a lot of stolen property in these vehicles. There were some narcotics. There was one defaced firearm that was recovered from one of the people in this group.
Gosh, that's getting complicated, isn't it?
It got worse. But the big question for us was, do we have a syndicate? Can we prove, and I'll summarize the law, are there five or more people working together to commit an ongoing series of thefts? And it was pretty clear to us that there were. And like Eric said, we knew who the main guys were. It was Keys, Jasper, and then two or three other guys. We had some mid-level people that were involved, and then we had a lot of people that were not directly involved. A young lady to whom Keys sold a stolen vehicle. There was a guy who was just a passenger that we couldn't put a felony on. There was a young man who we didn't have any felony charges. We had misdemeanor charges on him, so we kind of weeded them out. We settled on our 13 people, and we decided to present the syndicate case to the grand jury.
Now, you sent to me in mm-hmm. advance of this program this really neat graphic that has all these pictures with who's tied to what. That in itself beautifully illustrates what you're talking about, and it's not convoluted, which otherwise it could be. Who came up with this?
That would be Lieutenant Lowe.
That's a beautiful job. Well, now, I assume that was presented?
That was presented to the grand jury.
To the grand jury, yeah.
It's a complicated story, and we've not gotten into all the details here on the show.
Yeah.
And it would be very difficult to tell the whole story with just words, so we actually presented that to the grand jury in a PowerPoint.
Nice.
It was very, very well done, and that image is available on our website, lexingtonprosecutor.com.
I recommend you take a look at that. That's a beautiful piece of work. And so what happened?
Well, without going into too much detail, grand jury tends to be a pretty abbreviated process. You know, typically we present homicide cases in 10, 15, 20 minutes or so. This particular case, if I remember, took us about 45 minutes to an hour to explain to the grand jury. It involved this PowerPoint presentation. You know, there's a lot of information. It's a 38-count indictment. None of these young men were old enough at the time to be persistent felony offenders.
How old do you have to be?
21.
So they were all under
most of these guys, the ones that had the felonies, were not 21 yet. I'll talk some more about their criminal backgrounds here
okay.
at the end.
Right.
But it was an 11-page document, very
Jeez.
Complex and kind of confusing. But we got through it, and we got our indictment. And so
off to trial.
Well,
when we come back.
I'll talk about the resolution and the follow-up.
Okay, wasn't a trial?
No, we did not go to trial in this case.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, we'll resolve it in the next segment. And if you have a question, 253-5959, touch
Tom.
And we are back. Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Dan Laren, Lieutenant Eric Lowe at the Police Department. And this is the point at which I just back out and hand it over to you, Dan. You know what you
okay.
need to get care. We got about 5 minutes to wrap it up.
We can do it. All right. Well, the late night syndicate, we presented this to the grand jury in October of 2012. Now, there's 13 defendants, which means there's 13 lawyers. And, you know, you can't get 13 attorneys to agree what day it is. Mm-hmm. So we have to prioritize cases like this. So in conjunction with the police, we decided who were the high-level people, the middle-level people, the low-level people. Traditionally, in a syndicate like this, you deal out the low-level people. You give them a deal, and they testify against the people that are higher up. In this particular case, it was what I call a top-down resolution because the main guys pled guilty, so I didn't need to bring in the lower people. So we tried to make the punishments fit the crime, and everybody in this crew pled guilty. The higher-level people, Mr. Keys and Mr. Jasper and a gentleman named Mr. Warner all went to prison for five, and 2 years. Mr. Birch, who was the other main guy, got a 2-year sentence. He ended up getting probated, and I don't think he did too well on that. The mid-level people also got a year to serve each. So I like to give credit where credit is due. I've come in here and complained about judges before, but the judge in this case was Judge Scarsone, and he sent five of the six main people in this group to jail. The rest
that's
of the
excellent.
People,
yeah, that's and they like you say, we don't say that very often.
The rest
the
of the crew, right? The rest of the crew all got probation. There was one guy that just paid a fine, and so you know we got a pretty good resolution out of this. The key to it was we put a lot of criminals in jail where they couldn't commit other crimes. Now I'll briefly summarize the follow up. I have to put on a disclaimer that anyone accused of a crime is innocent until they are proven guilty. But as a group, these gentlemen are 20 to 26 years of age today. They average about 22 years of age. They have a total of 125 convictions, a little over 9 each, which is a lot for
sure.
people this young.
Right.
They violated probation 13 times. This crew's been in and out of the county jail 88 times. That just seems like a lot to me. Five of them, I ran their records yesterday, five of them are in custody right now. Only one of them is not on supervision, and seven of this crew, that's 54%, have pending felony charges as we sit here today. So I'm not going to go into any further detail about that. I would like to wind up our program today with having Lieutenant Lowe talk about the effects of this case on crime in the community rather than the criminals who
committed. Yeah, this is some sweet stuff
specifically.
Here. Lieutenant Lowe brought a graph, and unfortunately on this show being radio, we can't show it to you, but you can describe to us what you're talking about there.
Well, as I said early in the show, we had seen a very steep increase in larcenies from autos in the summer of 2012. It got to the point where we were having over 100 a week of car break-ins, which was an extremely high number for us.
40, you said, was normal.
Normal is around 40 in a week. Which you know is still too many, but
sure,
it's what we typically experience.
Yeah.
Once we started putting these people in jail and arresting them, we tracked the graph of the larceny from autos, and it just dropped. We went from over 100 to around 50 after the first couple arrests. And by the time we got everybody in jail, we were in the 30s. So we went from 2.5 times what we normally experience to less than our normal LFA numbers after we put these 13 people in jail.
If you look at this graph, it looks like a ski slope. It goes from top to bottom and real quickly. So that's got to be a really good feeling for both of you guys.
Well, not just for us, for all of the detectives that put in lots and lots of hours. This was not just me and Dan. This was all the detectives in both of the units' hard work.
Well, that's excellent. Eric, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dan, thank you.
Glad to be here again.
We will see you or someone next week.
I'll see what we can come up with
okay,
for you, Jay.
Thank you very much. Stand by. We have another.